But, Mr. Ellis, let me just finalize what I'm saying before I forget. I'm not as young as you. Now, when the Dems came in 2008, they had two humongous debts on the books, the prison and Kensington Noble, to start with. They were advised that because of the size of those contracts, certain things went wrong at different times, and they should have what they call a forensic audit. And in both cases, the Dems refused it because the hierarchy of the party, you understand, it wasn't there, indicated that it wouldn't take time and money, and therefore they had other important things to do. But you see, if they had taken some time to have an audit of those accounts, and you want at the university that now looms $200 million in debt, if they had looked at those three, we probably would not be in this position now, not that being in any unusual position, because this is going to continue to happen. I don't care how many laws they pass. People will continue to go break the law and go to jail because people are greedy by nature. And I'm saying that, you there?
I am listening to you.
Yeah. I am saying, sir, that what we have to, I am not concerned about how people are looking at us. What I am concerned about is the message we're sending to all young people in this country. That dishonesty doesn't matter. If I come to work for you, you got something you want.
Well, a lot of people in Barbados have contributed to that. A lot of people have contributed to that particular culture. Who is, first of all, I think the greatest contributor is denial. The silly questions that are posed, rather than say, "Well, I will get behind this." Go, well, you got information, give it to police, because they recognize that this is not a whistleblower community. So nobody is ever going to give it to the police because they don't trust the system. Mm-hmm. So rather than say, okay, how can we improve this? They kind of wash their hands many times and say, well, you know, if you can't prove it to a certain point, don't bring it to me at all. But and then to deny that Barbados is like that. We have a problem. Let us try to fix that problem now. And
I agree with you that we have a problem, but this is where the problem starts. If you check with people who work in the retail industry, you see there's a lot of pilferage. People take up goods and so on and that kind of thing. You have cases where lawyers will take people's property and use it for their own benefit. You have accountants who overcharge people or do two sets of accounts to dodge taxes. There's a lot of that going on in the society, Mr.
Precisely.
And we have to call on the church leaders who are supposed to...
But there's carrying money too?
But I know that. But even then,
Why don't I sound you behaving as though they don't teeth?
Even the Judas of this world will have...
Sometimes they like more money than anybody else.
Exactly, but Mr. Ellis, what I'm trying to say, your radio station, sir, church leaders have got to get together and put together some form of program to remind people that when they are doing wrong, because you do something and don't get caught, it doesn't mean that you're not wrong. And these same people, some of these people who grow up to be big thieves, keep stealing millions and so on, start out by stealing maybe something that costs $1 or $10. I'm not concerned with what America think of us because they know better. Everybody's still trying to get rich quick. I am concerned about what the message going to all young children that are growing up in this world, because
I don't think that should be really your first concern. The first concern has to be to what extent are people in need deprived of what the state can give them and of what they deserve because of misbehavior by other people? That's what you need to focus on. Because it cheats people of resources.
Yeah, it does. I hope, Mr. Ellis, that these things will become part of all developmental issues for young people. I keep saying just young people all the time, because they're the ones who have to take over the running of this country. And if we let them grow up with the same attitude of this generation, which feel bad, if I carry this, but he got another one, if I overcharge. I had instances as a young man in public service. This thing goes back. To me, a fellow submitted a traveling statement from A to B and back is 7 miles, but he got from A to B and back is 9 miles. You see, along two here and two somewhere, and you end up with 20 miles extradition. And when you have to speak to people, well, this man, your money, your man, it ain't yours. So I'm telling you that this thing is endemic and also cellular fluidity.
I accept that point. I certainly would not go with anybody who wants to give the impression that it started recently. This has been going on for a long time. The difference here is that since 9/11, things have changed a lot, especially if you're dealing with U.S. currency and going through the United States in particular. And, you know, there's something called the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, better known as FATCA. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
All the discussion about
import by United States.
Precisely.
Now, Mr. Ellis, I want you as a station manager to do something for me.
What's that now?
But not for me, for young people. Can you, when you start your program on mornings, I don't know if you do any religious prayers or something.
You want me to start with a prayer?
But I mean that too, but I don't know if you can pray.
I can start by praying for you.
But why not? But I want you to pray. To inform people, honesty is always the best policy. If you repeat it often enough, people start.
I think the part that I would want to emphasize is that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah, but we need to be reminded that we are going wrong. And I think there's something people call choice. I don't know, but sadly, it doesn't say anything because it tells children to know already. Or before, after you used any proper, you did proper at school, Ms. Ellis.
Didn't
you
we all?
Proper? Honestly, the best policy, all that glitters is not mold.
Yeah, but we are human beings. And, you know, somebody pointed out to me that there are a lot of people who cannot resist temptation, you know. It is all well and good for us to talk, but the whole culture is one that is encouraging people to look for a lot of material gain, to position themselves as best as possible. The more you have, the more you want. Once you believe that you have been satisfied and your needs have been satisfied, then you start to look at your children and the grandchildren. And, you know, some people never, ever stop. They're made up that way. And you can never give them enough because they're looking for more land, more business, more money. You know, for them, that drives them.
Mr. Ellis, there are two things I want to tell you before I go. One is parents and adults are the ones who are setting a bad example. For instance, you go in the supermarket and see somebody come with two children. I have seen a woman do this more on one occasion. She carried the child down to the grape section, and that person starts to pull off grape and eat. You tell him bunch, he's pulling off and eating.
But that's rare, though.
By the time you get there,
that is rare.
Almost all gone. And the parents see him doing that and don't tell him anything. No, that is something that a parent should nip in the bud. There's also another bad habit I see parents wrong here with. Driving in cars, the children going to school, obviously, and they're driving through major stops. They ain't stopping at lights going through that. That is another dangerous habit. And we adults are responsible for the example we set to our children. And I keep saying this all the time. If you set bad examples, I don't care what you tell them. They will copy the bad example. Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you for calling as well. Down to brass tacks. Sun Power,
our water system. A Sun Power hot water systems panel has 25% larger inner diameter tubing and 20% thicker fins than other hot water systems. The smaller tubing of the other products will cause faster line blockage and less product life. A Sun Power hot water system lasts longer than the others and saves you more on maintenance costs. Call one of our sales reps at 428-0634 and get your Sun Power today. Get your Sun Power.
Are you prepared this hurricane season? Have a 2-week supply of drinking water, dried and canned food, an updated first aid kit, and a battery-powered radio and flashlight. Place your ID card, driver's license, passport, insurance policies, and other important documents in a waterproof container on an elevated surface. Clean your surroundings. Trim trees and clear clogged gutters and drains. Store outdoor furniture and garbage cans inside. Fill your vehicle with fuel and know where your nearest hurricane shelter is located. Keep listening to your radio for advisories. This season, be ready. Be hurricane ready.
It's summer days at Signia Financial, where we make you feel really, really special.
Win a cruise for two, dinners, lunches, massages, and so much more when you sign up for a loan or investment with Signia this summer. Thousands of dollars in cash and prizes to be won. So come to Signia this summer, save and win. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram for our pop-up locations.
Signia Summer.
It's summer days at Signia Financial.
Fireworks 2018, Popover starts here.
D2 Point Live and Laurie Mears. You better miss this year.
2:30 p.m., Monday to Friday. Fireworks is brought to you with the kind compliments of West Indian Waterproofing, the legendary 8-Ball Sports Bar, Rent-A-Bin, BADMC, Sky Mall, and the Bridge Street Mall.
Under the distinguished patronage of the Honorable John King, Minister of Creative Economy, Culture and Sports, we present the 2018 Rooterstown Teen Talent Contest preliminaries this and every Sunday at Divi South Winds. Tickets are available from Sneakerheads Mall 34, Sports and Games High Street, Strams Restaurant, Roebuck Street, Rail Bosses Wear Horses, BlackRock, and Cool Line Bar, BlackRock. Admission $20 in advance, $25 at the door, $15 for children under the age of 14. Showtime.
Woohoo! Miami, here I come. Wish I could travel. Girl, do like me. I got 15,000 Welcome Scotia points for signing up and using my Aero Platinum MasterCard. With round trips at just 20,000 Scotia points to Miami, New York, and other popular destinations, I'm already more than halfway there.
True? Well, get set for company, because I'm on my way to apply for an Aero MasterCard and get my 15,000 Welcome Scotia points.
Promotion ends August 31st, 2018. Conditions apply. Scotiabank. It starts with you.
It's getting bigger. The jackpot for tonight's Mega Six draw is now a whopping $2,310,000. So don't wait. Get in the game and get your Mega Six tickets today. Available from lottery agents island-wide.
Down to brass tacks. I like alternative views on whatever we are discussing. This person says we are blowing this thing out of proportion. This is not a new norm. Talking about it is fine, but Barbados is not going to lose all international business over this issue. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. 434-1790. That's the number for you to call. Hello?
Good morning, Sally.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm remarkable, thanks.
As usual.
As usual.
Relentlessly remarkable.
Yes, I'm glad to hear you, man. Okay, I, as a rule, I don't call to comment on the callers, et cetera. It's never been my style. But I want to correct Mr. Arthur. I want to commend him and still knock him slightly, give him a little nudge here. But I'll start with the little nudge. And thank you for having attempted or corrected him somewhat when he was talking about it was only a few thousand dollars in regard to a matter. No foolishness, Mr. Arthur. No few thousand dollars. If a guy picks a pocket, the judge don't want to hear that you picked a pocket and you only got $5. Because if the person had $5,000, you would have had that towards the act of picking the pocket, not the amount. So you stand corrected, Mr. Arthur, on that. Not the amount, it's the act of picking the pocket. Hello?
Yeah, understood.
Right. I must commend him, though, when he went on to speak about the sliding in the central bank, the NIS, and et cetera. He called a host of them. Those are laudable things to commend him on. And let me tell you something. All is well in crime until the stool hits the fan. Crime is a big thing in the world, so... All is well until the stool hits the fan. That's all you have to say on that.
But part of the what you experienced too is that you got a lot of friends when
oh yeah
when everything is going well. You did that. You run into trouble. The friends desert you. And the same people who are close to you are the head ones who start to tell everybody else how bad a fella you were. You know? It's like people that you eat and drink with.
Yes.
And when you get sick, the same people say, you know, he deserved to get that because you know how much liquor he has drank, how much, how many pork chops he does eat. They say people who encourage you.
You're the ball, man. You're one of those are the sad persons.
No, boy. It is human nature, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I like that part when you said it's human. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Boy, but I must say it's rather unfortunate. It's particularly unfortunate, but what are we going to do? All we can do actually would be to just wait until this thing pans out.
This is not, and I want to suggest to you that the panning out of this matter goes way beyond any one person, you know.
I know.
Because you got to wait and see what else is going to come out of the pursuit of individuals who have not been playing by the proper rules, and that is public and private sector. We must not forget the role of people in the private sector. Okay? Now, somebody asked me about revenge for being outspoken and stuff like that. Look, you guys into a lot of conspiracy theories here, and I've heard this on the ground, but remember, go back to the indictment and see when that indictment was sealed. That indictment was sealed in March of this year. In March.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So all this talk about links with another case and all of that, I don't see that. I think this, and as was pointed out by the Attorney General yesterday, the indictment of Mr. Innes is something that took a long time. Similarly, as he's saying, it takes a long time to garner evidence, and then it takes a long time, if you're here in the Caribbean, in Barbados, it takes a long time to go through the court process as well.
But
For us, it looks as though, sometimes it appears as though you have to depend more on the Americans to deal with issues than the local authorities, because I think, from all that I'm seeing here, our local police are really now on the spot.
But let me say one to you, too. In crime, Mr. Ellis, is something known as a plea bargain. And that is the most interesting factor in a criminal situation.
Well, in the United States in particular.
When you,
because, you know,
you when you offer a plea bargain, then that makes all the difference in the matter. And you're really saying, I'll accept the plea bargain or not. But you can go and kill it wrong, and then you pay a penalty too.
Yeah.
It's all bottom line. Unfortunate, very, very unfortunate. Hope never to be in a position in a vortex like that you're tied off. I wish you well, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello? Down to brass tacks.
Ellis.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, yes.
How are you today, sir?
I'm well, and you?
I was not going to call this program, right? But people tell me, Mark David on. Mark David. You know that people, you know that all over the world are all across Barbados, people are calling people, Mark and David, are they? You're going to be out of this morning, Mr. David.
I ain't so sure.
You're not going to be out of it.
Because, you know, there are times when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
I tell you, sleep on the floor.
You wake up on the wrong side of the floor.
My mattress.
And that explains why you can be so acid once in a while, because sleeping on the floor, you feel it a little bit more than if you slept on a bed.
I got on a double bed. I got a single bed, so it is all off my bed all the time. David.
Yes, sir.
You know, I can be honest with you, right? You know, you are one of the first people in this country that was aware and was alerted to several things that was happening in this country. And subject to your interrogation, somewhere along the line, we had to take a break on it. But David Ellis, most of the times that I call you with information that I believe that if you had moved towards it, that you would be able to say, well, yeah, but coming from my end, you probably, I feel vindicated. I feel vindicated that there were times that I knew that things were going on in this country, and I tried to share it with the public. Coming through, David Ellis. David Ellis, thank you, thank you, thank you very much for checking me and stopping me at a point, because the proof and the truth is now coming out. Let me say what I'm saying, right? The worst is yet to come. Let me tell you why the worst is yet to come. We have not found it fit in this country to introduce what can be called as, listen carefully, witness protection legislation. For sure. We in this country, up to this moment, have not at least tried to defend what we can consider to be the whistleblowers. So you've got whistleblowers there who want to talk. You've got whistleblowers who are involved. But unfortunately, just in the last call to talk about the deals, we don't have a witness protection act. And I want to say this, right, that we are now talking about a matter that was discovered and open and at least projected in the United States, David. But the case should be made up in Barbados, because if we have what we consider to be as money laundering laws in Barbados, I think the very person should be charged under the laws of Barbados for the mistake or
well,
the happening.
I think that not one person is under scrutiny here. One person is in the United States, but there are other people here who have been identified as facilitating this whole process. And I think that's where the Barbados authorities need to pay their to focus right now, because eventually you have to sit and watch what is happening in the U.S.
Yeah,
and let that process take its course. But here, if we do nothing, if we do not appear to be working on this particular allegation from the Barbados end,
That's right.
It will look as though, you know, people could
do
anything.
We take everything for granted.
Right. And let me put it this way to you. If you, you have to look at the investor confidence issues, huh? If you are somebody who's got money to put into Barbados and you look from abroad and you see something that appears to you to be stark, that says, look, these people, they're not serious, you know. If I got myself in a similar situation where people were coming after me and making life difficult in a way that was unacceptable, what would they do? You know,
that's how
the investor is going to look at it. So from that point of view, we got to be able to put legislation in place to reassure Barbadians and people who want to share in our experience as investors that we are serious about it. We also have to take decisive action where information appears to be available. We at least must appear to be investigating it.
That's right.
You know, so
we are
now in a different environment altogether, I would think.
But you know, Mr. Having read that as long as you offend the American government involving their currency in any kind of fraud, you're going to be charged by the government of the United States. I am of the opinion, and as a Barbadian, that you and I know that somewhere along the line, that there is this issue for Barbadians to feel comfortable in this exercise. That is that since we have laws on our statute book, in relation to what is the matter of at least we know what the charges are, then obvious, America might have all the paperwork. Yes, might have all the paperwork. But what we are saying here is that somewhere along the line, as I said to you earlier, we need to look beyond the Barbados shores for protection of people.
But what stops us from doing that? You know,
the
pain associated with watching friends and family go through this kind of process
is
part of what. Because let me say to you that let's take a public official. A person may belong to one party or the other, but they all talk. They all have a drink together. They have lunch and dinner together. They're able to crack a joke with each other. And that, let me tell you, is a very, very difficult experience when you have to come to terms with something as serious as a political colleague. finding themselves in trouble. I tell you.
I want to be honest.
Other people, you have to tell me what kind of experience you go through when you see somebody that you know well in a mugshot.
I want to be honest with you, David. I want to be honest with you, even though our political views may be different. It is not down to politics at the moment. I feel hurt in the sense that it's the United States government that has brought this issue against the goodly gentleman. I feel that as Barbadians, there should be a mark of satisfaction to each and every one of us as Barbadians who witnessed this man work in and out of Parliament, who knows this, to be able to face the judiciary of this country for the matter in front of us.
But a lot of people don't trust our system.
That's it.
That's why we don't trust our system. I'm saying that the real big problem here is trying to work in such a way that there is some measure of a greater measure of confidence in the Barbados system. That's what this is our biggest challenge right now. I don't like to deal so much with the individual.
That's right.
I want to deal with the system. And what the problem that is before us is saying to us about our system and how it works. What are its strengths? What are its weaknesses? And if you want to correct this problem, the situation, the image of Barbados abroad, you're going to have to act now.
I agree with you, David. In closing, I am asking, I believe you have just supported me in that in order for us to get to the meat of whatever is happening in this country, we have to look at legislation as far as the witness protection legislation and for the whistleblower, and also, as far as I am concerned, the idea that there's so many things, David. I'm going to put down this form by telling you this now, right? There are so many things that are being withheld from the public of Barbados in relation to what have happened over the last 10 years. That when these things start to open...
But not only the last 10 years.
I use 10 years as an example. Mm-hmm. Sorry
10,
about that.
10 years, look, this has been long in gestation. And, you know, it is simply that if you don't crack down on it, there are some people who believe that it opens the door for them to do even worse than the people who might have been there before. To me, this is where the line is being drawn in the sand because of the other people out there, the Americans, the use of FATCA and all of that, the focus on money laundering, that you can garner your money. But after you garner your money, you can't easily spend it. You got to go try to clean it up, and it is in the process of trying to clean it up that they are going to get you, because we have given the impression that Caribbean countries don't fix problems like that. And there are too many people who have complained over the years and say how difficult it is to do business, not because of this much talked about delay in doing business, and that it's so difficult to do business because the courts don't work well and this and that. Part of it is that in the Caribbean, all too often, there are people who are saying to you, you have to give me something extra so that it can happen. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, it just makes it very difficult, because at the end of the day, the people, you don't get value for money sometimes. Huh? We're coming right back. I just wanted to point out that at this stage of the game, as it relates to the indictment against Donville Innes, remember that these are allegations. They are not yet proven to be true. And he will have to have his day in court. And in that context, therefore, when discussing this matter, remember that it is not conclusive. What is of concern here, though, is that the mere allegation throws up a whole set of questions about how we do business and what are we going to do to try our very best to avoid the kind of smear that can go with allegations of this nature. So I don't want anybody to come to a specific conclusion here to say, well, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have had misbehavior in public office in this particular instance. So we need to be very careful that we don't go in that direction. And I certainly am not coming to a specific conclusion in that regard. What I do know, though, is at a general level in this country, as I said before, there is a need for us to recognize that it cannot be business as usual. And a lot of effort has to be placed on trying to reassure the public and in the investor community that Barbados is a good place to do business, that it has a good reputation. I mean, I remember very well the days when we were trying to fashion an international business sector, as we called it back then. And a lot of the debate revolved around trying to make sure that we were a clean jurisdiction. It is something that we have worked very hard to maintain. We have not had any real big scandals associated with our international financial sector over the years because of the desire to make sure that we protected our image in that regard. And it is a pursuit of that, a similar approach. That's what we need to do. And just ensure that Barbados's name and its reputation are maintained. Down to brass tacks. Hello.